Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Faith is practical. Faith is practical, not only on a Wednesday night when you're supporting Manchester United, but faith is for life. Because we often find ourselves in different situations where you've got to rely on God. And these two women that we're going to talk about this weekend after Women's Day, two women that demonstrated this kind of faith. And today we want to talk about one lady who was a virgin and the other a prostitute. One of them was really humble and meek. The other was a liar. Someone who was a disgrace to society. Someone you don't want around your children. Someone you don't even want in your life. Both these ladies are separated on land by about 100 kilometers, but their stories are actually 1,000 years apart. Today we want to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we want to talk about Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute. Two women who, are very different, but who found favor in the eyes of God. And are actually listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Mary. Mary is when we encounter her in the Bible, she's a humble virgin girl who lived in Nazareth, in Galilee. She loved God. She lived a righteous life. She feared God. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. The Bible says she was betrothed. She was engaged to be married to Joseph. They were preparing for their wedding. That was the plan, at least. At that point, that was the plan. But then God sends an angel, Gabriel, to call her to a special task, and then everything changes in her life. So I want us to pick it up in Luke chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 28 to 38 in your Bibles. Only turn there. Luke chapter 1. Read from verse 28 to 38. I'll read from the Message version. An angel Gabriel, the Bible says, upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. Another version of the Bible says, you who is highly favored, God is with you. Bible tells us she was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You'll become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. Wow. What a message. What an honor to be given the opportunity to carry God's son. And the message is delivered in a personal way. God sends an angel to Mary. I think this would be any mother's pride, to know that you're carrying the Son of God. But for Mary, actually, this moment comes with mixed feelings. It comes with mixed feelings because something is off in this announcement. Something doesn't add up. And the factor that doesn't add up is the timing of the announcement. You see, Mary is engaged to be married to Joseph. And now here comes Angel Gabriel and he's saying, hey, you're going to be with child. You're going to be pregnant. She's engaged to Joseph, who is a God-fearing man. And this was his reputation in the community. He feared God. She's engaged to be married to him. And yet now, God is saying, you're going to be pregnant. I mean, how would she even begin to explain that to Joseph? And it seems like it's going to happen right away. And that presents a new risk. Now, two things could happen here. Number one, Joseph can cancel the engagement and bring shame to Mary and her family. Before the wedding, he try to do it quietly and let her carry the shame and guilt all by herself. Or the other thing would be this. He would call off the engagement, and then the community would invoke the law. The Bible helps us understand in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23 to 24. It says, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she was in a town and did not scream for help, and the man, because he violated another man's wife. You must purge the evil from among you. So either he cancels the engagement and leaves her, or he cancels and she's stoned to death. And friends, sometimes that's the way life happens. There is no easy way out. And it is still in those moments where we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. It's still in those moments where we need to turn to the Lord. When there is a price to pay, there is no way out. You've got to pay the price, and sometimes that price is do or die. But sometimes it is do and die. Either way, there is a price to be paid. And unless God shows up, you are dead. And those situations cause us to fear. Sometimes we don't want to carry the cross in that moment. We want the easy way out. But how many know that God has not called us to a faith of convenience? But ours is to be a faith of conviction where no matter what, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the only one that can carry me through this situation. And maybe you're going through a situation like that right now in your life where there is a price that God is calling you to pay. Hey, are you willing to pay the price? So you can begin to imagine what is going on in Mary's mind. This is a suicide mission. And she asks Angel Gabriel in verse 34, she says, but how? How? I've never slept with a man. You know, sometimes we're afraid because things are too much for us to understand. Sometimes you just don't, it can't fit in your mind, and so you're just anxious. But remember, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. Because sometimes he's doing something in us. You see, sometimes God is working on you. He's testing you. He's growing you. And his ways are far above our ways. And your response mustn't be fear. Instead, it must be faith. Faith when you don't understand. But the angel still continues to speak to Mary, because remember we said in the beginning, while understanding faith, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so Angel Gabriel continues to speak the word of God, so that as Mary hears the word of God, there is faith that begins to rise in our hearts. And so he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest hover over you. Therefore the child you bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God. So she continues to hear the word of God and begins to cause faith to rise in her heart. She's now beginning to believe. And to help her believe, Angel Gabriel points her to another situation so that she can believe the unbelievable. So we read in verse 36 to 38, and did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son as old as she is? Everyone called her barren. And here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. And so what's left for Mary to do here is, not only has she heard the word of God, she's to believe the word of God and then take the next step, act on the word of God. Faith is practical. Faith without works is dead. We can't just know your faith through your discussion. We must see your faith through your action. You've got to act on the word of God. And Mary acted on the word of God. Listen to what she said. She said, and Mary said, yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. But will you jump with me to Joshua chapter 2, verse 21? Here is another lady who lived 1,600 years before Mary. And she said the very same words in Joshua chapter 2, verse 21. Rahab said, "Let it be as you say." And these are probably the most significant words that Rahab said of her entire life. When we read the book of Joshua, we understand that Joshua, the son of Nun, is now coming into leadership after Moses has passed away. He's the new leader of Israel. And the Lord says, "I will be with you just as I was with Moses." And he's saying, now you're carrying the assignment. I spoke to Abraham. I said I would show him a land, and I wanted him to go to that land. And Moses carried you out of captivity in Egypt, and you've been on that journey to the promised land. Moses has passed away, and Joshua, I want you to carry that assignment and lead the children of God into the promised land. And so to do that, Joshua sent two spies to check out the city of Jericho. This would be the first of many cities that they would conquer in order to settle in the promised land. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, that Joshua said, "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. Now you might ask yourself, why Rahab? The Bible helps us understand that Rahab's house was in the outskirts of the city. In fact, at the city wall. That's where her house was, at the city wall. And the spies came to her house. And it was easy for them to go there, number one, because she was at the city wall. It was easy. Her house was easy to find. But we also know she was a prostitute. So there was a habit of men coming into her house and leaving, and no one would suspect because they know what is going on there. Now remember, these are two spies. A spy doesn't walk into the country announcing themselves. You know, instead of going through the checkpoints, they would go to Rahab's house because no one would suspect why men are there. Instead of going to the checkpoint where they're going to ask you, "What's your father's name? What's your mother's name? What's your national ID number? What's your date of birth? What's your date of death?" and all of these other things. Instead, they go to Rahab's house. Remember, they're on a mission. They've come to spy the land, and so they go to Rahab's house. And so they begin a conversation. But while they're in that conversation, the Bible also tells us that now news has reached the king that the two spies are now in the land. Joshua chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible tells us, "So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy the whole land.'" Now, as these gentlemen are talking with Rahab, she understands that they're spies. And the reason she understands is because she's heard the stories of what the God of Israel had accomplished. She says, "Man, our whole city is afraid. We've heard what God has done through you. How he conquered the king of the Amorites. And you guys are destroying everyone in your way. And so there is a great fear that has come upon us as a people." Now the king is saying, "Bring those two guys. There is a conflict here. Will she hide these men, or will she give them up to be captured?" And that is where we see Rahab making a choice of faith over fear. In that moment, Rahab chose to identify with God's people over her own people. And Rahab's response was this: "I don't know where these guys are." You see, there were two options. I give up these guys, and now everyone knows I was hiding the spies, so I get killed. Or I hide them. But after they've gone and people find out, still I'm going to die. It was a matter of life and death. But she chose faith. She said, "Listen, I am going to side with God's people because I've heard what your God has done." And that was a moment of faith for her. In fact, the Bible tells us that Rahab's not only heard, but she believed, because she said, your God, the God of Israel, is the God of heaven and of earth. So she faces a great conflict here. Sometimes this is what life throws at us. What decision are you going to make in the face of the pressures that you feel when opposition comes against you? And sometimes faith puts us in a place where we might have to stand against our own people, not because we hate them, but we want to do right. And maybe it's your parent asking you to do something sinful. Maybe it's a relative who's asking you to do something that's not right. And you find yourself in that situation. And faith, the code of faith, number one, tells us that we are to be courageous. We have to be able to stand in that moment and do what is right regardless of the situation. So the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, that she begins to crack a deal. She says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family. Because remember, she hid them. And then she told the people that had come from the king, I don't know where these guys are, but if you continue on your way to the city gate, you will find them along the way. So these guys got out of her house and began to go. They were going to chase after these two spies and find them. But actually, they were in her roof. So she goes up to them. She brings them down. She begins to talk to them. She says, listen, swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you'll spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. The men say to her, verse 17 to 21, This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own hands. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell us what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied, let it be as you say. So she's cracking a deal. She's saying, okay, listen, I believe in your God, and I know that God has already put this city in your hands. You guys are going to take over Jericho. We already know that because you know what God has helped you do. You crossed the Red Sea and you've come. You're going to take over the city. We know it. Our people are afraid. But will you show me kindness? And I love that word that she uses. Will you show me kindness? Just reading about that word kindness, it is the same Hebrew word called hesed. That word is called hesed in the Hebrew, kindness. It is the same word the Bible uses for loving kindness. And when you understand that word more, it is the same word used for covenant love. Covenant. A covenant is an agreement. It's a deal that God makes with man to cover man. The Bible says as believers, we are under the new covenant. It is God covering us. And here, Rahab is saying, hey, will you show me kindness? Will you show me hesed? Can we make a covenant that God will cover me and my family and my people when you come to destroy the land? You know, a covenant is like an umbrella. You can't stop it from raining, but the rain does not touch you because you are covered. And so she's asking, hey, will you include me in this deal? And remember, I love this because God said to Abraham, I want to bless you and to make you a blessing. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And here Rahab is making a decision to stand with God's people. She's choosing to bless God's people. And it's a fulfillment of the promise, whoever blesses you, I will bless. And so God fulfills in that moment a covenant. And the people declare, yes, if you hang a scarlet robe down your window so we can know where you are. And if your people are in the house, we will not touch you. And if anyone is touched that is in your household, that blood is on us. But if your people step out and they are touched, that is your responsibility. And she says, it's okay. Let it be to me just as you have said. The Bible later tells us that she helped them escape. She let them down through the window and sent them a separate way. And they were able to escape and go. She chose to stand with God's people against her own people. I wonder, are you willing to make the tough decision to honor God and go against the status quo? Hey, God wants to build faith in us where we're not just going with the flow. And I want to leave you with three quick things today. The thing we learned from these two ladies, number one, is your response means everything. Faith is going to call you to a place where you must say yes to God. Mary said, let it be to me just as you have said. Rahab said the same thing, let it be to me just as you have said. Friends, shall we carry that attitude of faith no matter the price that we have to pay? Let us say, Jesus, let it be to me just as you have said. Let faith produce a confidence and a boldness in your heart that says a big yes to God. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, listen, it's not my will, but let your will be done. And the Bible says Jesus scorned the cross. He looked down time and he knew that his days were numbered. He was going to die. But Jesus was willing in that moment to say, not my will, but your will be done. Faith is going to throw you in a place where you need to be able to say, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus, I am willing to carry the cross that you want me to carry so that your work and your purpose in me and through me and for me shall be fulfilled. Second thing we learn is that your past doesn't determine your future. Just like Rahab, maybe you've been through all kinds of situations and you've messed up your life and you've made bad decisions. And where you are in life right now, you don't love where you are. You don't love the life that you were living. And many times when we stand here from the platform and we say, listen, God loves you, you don't even know how to receive that word because they're like, Pastor Brian, you don't understand the things that I have done. You don't understand that I aborted my child. You don't understand that I cheated on my wife. You don't understand that, hey, I cheat on my exams. You don't understand that, hey, I am a liar and I'm a cheat and I've made all kinds of bad decisions. But I want to let you know that there is grace for you. There is grace for you. Your past shall not determine your future. If you fix your eyes on Jesus and say, Jesus, will you fix me? I am broken. I have messed up. I can't do this on my own. Listen, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you. Will you help me? And you know, the beautiful thing about Rahab is this. Rahab meets a man called Salmon in Israel. She marries him. Together, they have a son called Boaz. Boaz meets a lady called Ruth and marries her. Together they have a son called Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of King David. And Rahab becomes the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. What is a prostitute doing in the lineage of Jesus? When you put your faith in Jesus, he changes your story forever. When you go to Matthew chapter 1 and you read the lineage of Jesus, many of us, when we begin to see so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, we go quickly to Matthew chapter 2. But hidden in Matthew chapter 1 is the grace of God. Rahab was given a second chance. There is a second chance for you, the grace of God, when you choose faith in Jesus. Doesn't matter how much you've messed up, and maybe you messed up last night. Maybe you're caught up in habits. Masturbation. Pornography. Sports betting. Maybe you lie all the time. Maybe you've been sleeping around. Maybe you're not faithful at school. Whatever area of your life it is, you're not living up to what God wants you to live. And the Bible's saying, listen, there is grace in Jesus. All you have to do is stand. Your eyes. Say, God, I believe in you. I believe you want the best for me. Forgive me. Give me another chance. Be like Rahab. Choose God. Don't keep living the life you're living just because everyone's doing it. Please stop today and just turn back to Jesus. Finally, what we learn from these ladies is this, is to put our faith in God because He holds everything in His hands. You know, God is fully capable of bringing His word to pass in our life. No matter how difficult the situation is, not only will God cover you, not only will God fight for you, God will handle everything when you release things into His hands by faith. The Bible says, and when Mary chose to believe and said, let it be to me as you've said, an angel visited Joseph when he wanted to leave Mary. I say, don't leave Mary. What she's telling you, that she's pregnant and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her, it's true. That is God's son. You know, when they came to destroy the city of Jericho, they spared the house of Rahab and her people. When you choose faith in Jesus, He will cover you. He's able to fulfill His word in your life. Don't be worried about the threats. Don't be worried. The three Hebrew boys said, no, you know what, we're not going to bow down to that idol, but even if you throw us into the fire and we die, we will die believing our God. Because they knew that God is able to handle. And guess what? That declaration of faith allowed God to step into the midst of their situation. And Jesus showed up in the fire. How can we be people of faith that stop being anxious and we stop being worried and allow God to take charge of every situation in our lives? I love what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 13 says. Paul says, here's a statement you can trust. If we died with Him, we will live with Him. If we remain with Him, we will reign alongside Him. If we deny Him, we will be denied by Him. If we're unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He's not able to deny Himself. What is our response? Because He is faithful. Let us be faithful. Let us put our faith in Him. Let us allow Him to step into the middle of our situations and then turn them around for our good and for His glory. Let Him give us a testimony and let us say, listen, when I lifted up my eyes to the Lord, because that is where my help comes from, look what God has done. You know, friends, it wouldn't be right of us if we preach a faith that tells you that tough times are not going to come, that death or life situations are going to, if we don't tell you that, we'll be cheating you, we'll be robbing you. Listen, faith, as you try to live by faith every day, you're going to find yourself in a corner, in a hard place. But be like Mary. Even when she could be stoned, keep your faith in Jesus. Say, let it be to me just as you have said. Like Rahab, come on. Choose God even in the moment of pressure, in the moment of heat. Say yes to God. Let your faith shine in that moment. Don't choose the easy way out. Not our will, but let His will be done. And when we choose that response of faith, with God, nothing is impossible.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@ototochurch.com.